Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Body Justice. I started this podcast because I believe that all bodies are good bodies. All bodies are deserving, worthy, and all bodies are whole just as they are. In today's world, it's ever hard to embody this as our truth. My mission is to create a space to process body image, eating disorders, and relationships through a justice-oriented lens. I'm a licensed therapist in California and an eating disorder survivor myself. I know what it's like to be at war with myself and also to find peace again. Thank you for being here, and I look forward to being your host. Allison, back with Body Justice. It's been a minute since I've talked to you all, and I'm so grateful for your patience and your dedication to listening to Body Justice and, you know, waiting out this season of life with me, because as most of you know, I've been busy raising my first child, and life has just been chaotic. So now that he is almost a year old, I have a little more time, space, and energy to come back here, and I'd like to do another season. So it's going to be probably sporadic in terms of when episodes are dropped. I can't commit to like an every Friday type of thing like I have in the past. However, I do want it to be a little more regular. So let's kick off this first episode. I want to talk about something vulnerable and important and really central to why Body Justice and my mission for the podcast came about. As you know, this podcast is all about the intersection of social justice and eating disorders. So, you know, I've shared a little bit on here before about how my own experiences growing up mixed race shaped my own eating disorder. And I want to take a little deeper dive into how white supremacy was really the culprit of my eating disorder. And I know that might sound like a big oversimplification. And, you know, there's obviously other components that led to it, but I do strongly feel that white supremacy culture had this ripple effect on the body hatred I felt and my desire and need to try to conform to whiteness, to move through the world with a little more ease. It is a privilege to be able to even conform remotely to whiteness. And I'll get into that, but I hope you can just sort of stay tuned and hear me out here. Before we get into the content, you can find me on my Instagram at bodyjustice.therapist if you're new around here. You can also find me on my website, www.eatingdisorderocdtherapy.com. I have a group private practice. We specialize in eating disorders and OCD. If you couldn't tell by the name, we also provide ketamine-assisted therapy. We have an in-person office in San Diego, and we are also virtual throughout California. We also serve clients in Utah and Florida. So if you want to learn more about my practice and how we can support you in your one-to-one journey, please find our website and my Instagram. Okay, so let's get into this. How the heck was white supremacy the culprit of my eating disorder? So there's a few really big ways that I have reflected on how this has shown up. Number one, emotional repression was something that I needed in order to survive for a while. What I mean by this is that for a lot of BIPOC people, we grow up learning it is not safe to express how we feel. This happens within our own families and in our sociocultural environment. And for some of us, it can actually be life or death to be anything but stoic or submissive. My eating disorder really helped me turn down the volume of my emotions, desires, my needs, so that I didn't disrupt the status quo or embarrass my immigrant family. So I'm mixed race Asian, I'm Indonesian specifically, Mexican, Dutch, and, you know, specifically really on both sides of like my Indonesian identity, there was this like model minority myth of like, I need to have like zero needs and be like the perfect person of color by achievements and all these, you know, external things. And then on the other side of my family, my grandmother immigrated here without documents. So she was undocumented. And there was sort of this known sort of unspoken rule that like we had to basically take up as little space as possible, not cause any waves or ripple effects that would like draw attention to our family. There was a lot of shame for being Mexican. And so this really came from both sides of my families, this need to repress, you know, my thoughts, my feelings, especially if they were counterculture in any way. And my eating disorder helped me do that, helped me turn down the volume on that. And, you know, on a really obvious way that white supremacy, you know, fueled my eating disorder was, you know, being so embedded in these Eurocentric beauty standards. It's no secret that beauty ideals in the US are rooted in Eurocentricism, which is the belief that Eurocentric features, you know, having light skin, blonde hair, blue eyes, thin body, are superior to other racial and ethnic features. So growing up as a mixed race person, indoctrinated in these different ideals, I felt inferior. I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt like I needed to compensate by trying to conform to white beauty standards as much as I could. This is also going to be, different depending on the geographic location you're in. I grew up in a very white area. And so if you had slightly brown skin and dark eyes and dark hair, like you stood out, and not in a good way. You know, the message was very clear, like you don't belong. My brother and I faced like various racial microaggressions there. And so I got this, you know, understandable message feeling from this messaging that if I don't try to conform as much as I can to whiteness, and like white culture, then I'm not safe, you know? And that makes me really sad because, you know, it really led to so much self-harm to my body when it manifested into an eating disorder and came with shrinking my body, really, you know, taking away anything that made me unique. It was like this urge to just conform and not be seen. Now, another, you know, kind of unique feature about this is I was under, you know, when you think of white supremacy culture, there's all these different facets. And one term that isn't talked about enough is monoracialism. And this is rooted in white supremacy. And monoracialism is this belief that we should be of one race to be pure and to be desirable. And, you know, obviously I grew up mixed race. I constantly questioned if I belonged. People would always ask me like, what are you? Where are you from? Just exacerbating that feeling of not belonging. Even if it was coming from a well-meaning place, it was like shining a spotlight on my difference in an area that didn't accept differences. So I didn't feel fully accepted by my cultures, you know, and then also this sense of monoracialism of like, if you are not one race, then you're somehow like dirty or tainted or, you know, something's wrong about that. And my eating disorder gave me this sense of acceptance that monoracialism took from me because I didn't feel like I belonged, you know, in the mainstream culture, but also my own ethnic groups. So by shrinking my body, though, I became more desirable. I got a lot of praise, a lot of accomplishments, I got a lot of praise as if it was some bigger accomplishment. And that praise helped sort of mask the inadequacy I felt because of monoracialism, which is rooted in white supremacy culture. And then assimilation. Assimilation is a really common experience for any minority group. And so basically not only were these Eurocentric body ideals really embedded into the framework of my immediate environment and culture. I was so inundated with these messages of these ideals, these thin bodies, white bodies, able bodies. There was so much pressure to assimilate if you didn't measure up, through advertising, through media, through peers, family members, all reinforcing the need to assimilate by conveying messages that, you know, other body types having anything outside this ideal is bad, it's unhealthy, it's shameful, you should want to change it. And assimilation is a survival strategy for BIPOC people. It sucks that it's a survival strategy, and it hurts us a lot. It rips us from our culture. It, you know, totally messes with our sense of identity. But it is a survival strategy because it is not safe in a lot of ways to go against white supremacy. So a lot of compassion for my younger self and anyone currently going through this. It's not so easy to just take away an eating disorder when it's helping you move through the world in a way that feels safer. Another important component of how white supremacy was, you know, the culprit of my eating disorder was my body as a mixed race person was exoticized from a very young age. I remember that before, you know, puberty and stuff, like I was just being mixed race was like made fun of. It was not a cool thing or anything like that. And then once my body started developing more, suddenly I got all these comments, specifically from males that, you know, my body was so unique and exotic. And it was like I was this walking object or like zoo animal to be gawked at. And my body was like sexualized from this exoticism. And I remember, you know, these comments mostly coming from cis men, but I also have memories of a cis woman coming up to me in a grocery store as a minor. I'm a minor. This person comes up to me, grabs my butt and says like great ass or something like that. And it's just like looking back at that, like what the fuck? It just like makes my skin crawl, but because I was so indoctrinated in this culture of feeling like my body's not mine, it didn't faze me at the time. But obviously this makes me so uncomfortable. It had to have made me uncomfortable at some level. I think maybe I had a mask to wear. I didn't have to fully take it in. Because to also express discomfort as a BIPOC person when these things happen risks being opened up to more harm. And so it just makes me sick to think about. But, you know, this absolutely had an effect on my eating disorder and made me, you know, want to starve myself to make myself smaller so I wouldn't be as sexualized because it didn't feel safe to be in my body in the way that it was meant to be. All these comments from these like older men or women, as a 16-year-old, like it just felt so unsafe to be in my body. So yeah, heavy, heavy part of my story, but I know there's some of you out there who can relate. And lastly, there's, you know, adherence to white supremacy culture, which I encourage you to read Tima Okon's, writings on white supremacy culture. If you haven't, I can link that in the show notes. But basically, these various aspects of white supremacy culture really reinforced my eating disorder. So things like perfectionism, black and white thinking, paternalism, and power hoarding, these characteristics ruled my thought processes as in terms of my eating disorder and made it so hard to untangle from recovery. It felt like so hard to untangle from my eating disorder. It made recovery feel like this, you know, radical unlearning process, this unraveling of these norms that felt so deeply ingrained in who I was and the culture I was in. And so, yeah, there's a lot there, but, you know, this is really kind of a starting point for understanding how white supremacy culture and white supremacy in general impacts eating disorder development. And I think everyone's experience in this is going to be unique. Every BIPOC person has a different experience. We are not monoliths. You know, I'm mixed race, so a lot of this is informed by that. And I obviously have other privileges that probably added some level of protection in this process. So even though I was subject to a lot of harm, I do still live in a thin body. I am in an able body. I'm not visibly disabled, even though I have things like OCD that are disabling. Nonetheless, I had these layers of privilege that did protect me. And at the same time, I had layers of oppression that did not protect me, as do all of us. So anyways, I hope this gets you thinking. And if you're a provider out there, I hope this really gets you thinking in terms of how you show up for your BIPOC clients and understanding the way their eating disorder protects them. For anyone currently struggling with an eating disorder, I just am sending you so much compassion. This is a really painful sort of unraveling to do. And you do belong here, and you don't have to conform to these things to be worthy. I know our world makes it feel like we do, but I hope that you can find community where your identities are represented and held. That is probably the number one thing that helped me move through some of this. Finding community with other mixed race people, people from my various ethnic identities, that helped so much. So that was a vulnerable one, but I hope it was helpful. And like I mentioned earlier, if you want to find out more about my work, visit my Instagram at bodyjustice.therapist and my website, www.eatingdisorderocdtherapy.com. And stay tuned because I have a few really good episodes lined up for you all from people in the field. I know you're going to be really excited to hear from. So stay tuned.